Thank you, Padilla and Mayu. Now, my wife Donna and I have a house out in Fairfax. And we have a deck on the back of that house. The back's to the woods. There have been untold times that I've been out on that deck, usually carrying one of my little dogs. Just realizing how quiet it is out there. I look up at the sky, and I see its vastness. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I try to ponder how far the sky goes. And it gives you a headache, because it goes on forever. I'm just in awe as I realize its incomprehensible vastness, and ponder its endlessness. I then notice the variety and colors of the many birds that gather but a few yards away to feed from the food we put out for them. All types of birds, red, blue, yellow, just a multitude, different colors and different shapes. I grasp the essence and wonder of the many types of trees and plants that I have before me. I take in sight the wildlife that comes up to our backyard and some in the front yard. Deer, beautiful creatures. They really are. Rabbits, fox, squirrels, chipmunks, and more. And in the summer especially, there are those varieties of flowers. You know, but when I was younger, I never realized how perfect they were. Their symmetry. They're perfect. Made perfect. Each one. Their shapes. The sweet smell. And the glorious colors. Never realized it when I was younger. But I do now. I realize and take in the abundance of nature. And so it is at times such as these and at other times in my life that I take in the abundance of its many forms, nature. And I humbly give thanks to God, the source of all, because I know that abundance is before me. The lesson for today, if you haven't guessed it, is abundance. Webster defines abundance as extremely plentiful state of oversufficient quantity of supply, an abundance of grain, an abundance of money, an abundance of material possessions out here in the world. Overflowing fullness of this or that. But the metaphysical definition for abundance is a bit different. Metaphysically, abundance means spiritual ideas in consciousness of the omnipresent supply and support of the one mind, invisible substance with an infinite capacity of expansion when held in mind, affirmed and praised. You know, we learn it in our basic principle class, one of the classes I just taught, the law of expression. As within, so without. From the invisible to the visible. We create. The scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, tell us that prosperity or supply has its origins in God, in divine mind. Our Creator's infinite consciousness, God's consciousness, in His own awareness of Himself as God. And you and I live in God and in His consciousness as His spiritual children, in His image and likeness. Thus, having all of His characteristics and inherencies, we are to share in His abundance, which is infinite. We are told by Paul that we are partakers of the divine nature. We share the Christ consciousness, for we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Through this consciousness of God, the Holy Spirit, in which we all live and move and have our being. So God's consciousness of himself is ours to assimilate and to appropriate at any time, if we elect to do so. So what is the secret of abundance? It's in the Bible. It's been there for how many years? Well, it's contained in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor grain, or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If you then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Well, there are a lot of lost people that haven't found God yet. They know about God, but they don't know God. Maybe they shall someday. They're unaware. Many of them hear this scripture. I know I have when I was younger. I said, fear not. Take no thought. What? Fear not? No way can I accept this scripture. I have to think about the many things that are going on in my life out here in the world. I have bills. I have debt. I've got things to do. Not only that, I want this new house. I want this new car. I want a boat. So not knowing what abundance really is, they go on to say, what would happen if I lost my job? If I lost my place in society? My status? And what if I lose my house? And yes, I am concerned that the stock market may crash. What's going to happen to me? Don't you understand? I am able to live and enjoy life only because all of the things that I've worked for and all of the money I have in the bank. And this scripture tells me to take no thought. I'm sorry, but this makes no sense to me. My job and my activities and my status out here in the world are my source of supply and are my abundance. And so it is. The These people that believe that their supply comes from the outside, from their employer, from this world of the flesh, which is temporary, as we now know, or from their investments. They believe that their prosperity depends upon favorable business conditions. But you know, it's a fact that these things are a form of supply. And they're channels through which supply flow. The jobs we have out here today, the vehicles we drive, there's nothing wrong with owning them. But the source and substance of all supply are not these things, are not our jobs. The source and substance, rather, is spirit, the invisible spirit, the creator. The power that created us is sustaining us. We just need to realize it. The omnipresence of God is supplying us at all times with the satisfaction of every need. If this seems difficult to accept, let us remember that all that is made out of this invisible spirit or God's substance. We learned that in our basic principle course, that spirit is substance, and substance is spirit, and all is of God. Through God, there is all goodness, all joy, all love, all happiness, and all supply and abundance, unlimited. For us to partake of our spiritual bounty, we, each of us, must become aware that God is always present and available to us. Always, in every place, at all times, omnipresent. We are to practice the presence of God, turning to Him many times throughout the day, even in little things. As this turning to Him helps us to develop a strong and unyielding faith. And faith is so important. Faith is a mental attitude, the steadfast inward vision and trust through which we contact our source of supply. Faith is the persistent holding of our attention to God. Faith is strengthened each time we demonstrate the availability of God's help in a practical way out here in our life. Also, as we become more aware of the abundance that is forever manifesting for us, let us accept it with gratitude. Gratitude is so important. The surest way to increase our joy and prosperity is to recognize the blessings that we have already received. How many times do we get up and say, thank you? Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that I have. We take a breath. Thank you for this breath of life. We have to always be in gratitude. And I can tell you now, if you show me a person that is not grateful, I'll show you a person that does not have abundance and does not know God. I belong to a little group. And within that group, we talk about an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Every day, we should be grateful. We also talk about people who look at a glass of water, a glass of whatever, that might be full, halfway. And you'll have some people that say, poor me. Poor me. Why, God, is my glass half empty? Why is it full? And then there are others. Say, thank you, Father, for my glass is half full. Attitude. Even in our business, in our jobs, regardless of the nature of the work we do, we should form the habit of communing consciously with God for guidance in every perceived problem, no matter how small. Look for God everywhere and in everything, acknowledging all beauty and goodness. in whatever form it may be found, as God's direct gift to you. If you continue to practice the presence of God, of good, the response will be unfailing. And that's the science and divine science. The response shall be unfailing. And you will have developed an attitude of habitual thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. You shall hear yourself saying and thinking regularly throughout the day, "Thank you, Father, Mother, God. Thank you for all of your goodness, all of your love, and all that is mine through grace. I am truly blessed, and I knew it not, but I know it now." Within you and me, there is a law in operation, a law of life. And our awareness of the presence of this law is our supply. It cannot be stressed enough, my friends, that money and the things necessary for daily living are the effects of consciousness, of the activity of the law within, but they are not the source. Our growing realization of faith enable us to take thought off the things in the outer world, to take no thought, but rather to abide in the consciousness of the law, which is the law which is our supply, the universal or divine consciousness. Your individual consciousness is the law. It is our very own consciousness that becomes our supply unto each of us, producing its own image and likeness in the form of those things necessary for our well-being. As there is no limitation to our consciousness, there is no limit to our conscious awareness of the action of the law, and thus, there's no limit to our supply in all of its forms. We create it. If we think it, we can create it. As within, so without. The invisible to the visible, based on the law and how we work with the law. Divine or universal consciousness, your individual consciousness, always remains spiritual. The activity of this law within you is likewise spiritual, and therefore your supply in all of its forms is spiritual, infinite, and ever-present. What we behold as money, again, is nothing but effect. These outer forms are brought forth from the invisible to the visible. Regardless of the state of our finances at any given moment, let us not be concerned or worried, because we now know that the law acting within, through and as our own consciousness, is always at work within us, when we are asleep, as well as when we are awake, to provide all those added things. Let us learn to look at the lilies and rejoice at the proof of the presence of God's love for his creation. Let us watch the sparrows, the butterflies, the eagles, and the doves, and note how confidently they trust the law of flight. Let us rejoice when we see the flowers in spring and summer, because they assure us of the divine presence that is within us and about us. As we learn to enjoy the beauties and the bounties of nature, with no desire to hoard any of them, and with no fear that there is less than an infinite supply of them, so learn to enjoy the fruitage of our infinite supply, the results of that infinite storehouse within us, with no fear of any lack to plague us. You know, there are people in this world, and I'm sure you've met them before, I've read about them, just researching for this lesson, that believe that it's God's will that man should experience lack, that we should be humble. And humble out here means that we should not have new clothes, we should not have a car, we should have a job, we should have the minimal. experience lack, or that it is sin to have abundance and be prosperous out here in the world. But these claims are not substantiated in Scripture. Those claims are incorrect. We also hear people tell us that money is the root of all evil. Well, that's not the case either, because what Scripture tells us is the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. As a matter of fact, the love of anything out here, more than the love of God, is the root of all evil. Love of a relationship, love of a car, love of our jobs, love of this, anything that you love more than God will come back to you. In Romans 8:16, we read, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thus, it's man's invitation to listen and to become aware of this storehouse of all good." We must maintain spiritual health, love, and abundance. We must learn always to live on a higher plane of consciousness insofar as possible. We must train ourselves to know that anything that exists in the realm of effect out here is not cause, is not creative, and has no power over us. We must continually know that I am the law, I am the truth, I am the health, I am abundance, I am life eternal. And since I am the law, then nothing in the external can act upon us and be a law unto us. There's nothing from which we can suffer but our imagined fears and the acceptance of error and illusion in our lives. These things called sin and disease are not what we are suffering from. They are forms of the error in which we believe. Regardless of the names used, they are suggestions and illusions, appearing as a person, place, or thing, appearing as sin, disease, lack, and limitation. We are one with God, eternal and perfect, and our spiritual truth cannot be touched by such error. We must not live as if we are effect. We are told in Scripture that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, ever. Let us remember to live in the law as a principle of our being. We can take possessions of our affairs only as we consciously realize that they are the effect of our own consciousness. It is important to note that in order for us to claim abundance, we must do our part, folks. I think we've heard from Dr. Salazar up here before and a number of others that God is not going to do for us that He's already equipped us to do for ourselves. That's just not going to happen. We can't sit around and wait for abundance. We have to participate in our lives. We've been given all that we need to move forward, but we've got to do it. We can't sit around just waiting for supply and abundance to appear. We have to do our part. We are rightly endowed with all that the Father is, to include intelligence, courage, purpose, and all of His inherencies. It is our responsibility to go out and claim abundance. But are we too afraid to do that? Are we too afraid maybe to go on to that better job we know we can be happier in? Are we afraid to do this or that in our lives? Where does that fear come from? I got a little story while getting ready for this lesson that I liked, and I'm going to tell it to you. There once was three men who started out through a dense forest to find the palace of a benevolent and wealthy king. Oh, he was a good king. He was joyful. It seems that the king had written to these three men and invited them to come to him, and had even sent them a paper upon which was outlined the very path to his palace. They were supposed to follow that path to his palace. This path was in the middle of this dense forest, and it was very, very narrow. while at the same time, there were wide bypaths branching off from it all the way forward. Wide bypaths, left and to the right. The king warned them against taking these wider bypaths and promised them that if they would faithfully follow his directions and stay on that narrow path, they would reach his palace and live with him forever in eternal health, joy, abundance, love, and so forth. So these three men, off they went. They started their journey to find the king's palace. And with his written directions, they went forward. Very soon, however, one man fell back because people along the way told him how utterly foolish he was to make such an attempt that many had tried before him but failed. And they failed because there were huge lions ahead on the path. And they were in the middle of the narrow path, these huge lions. So this man left. So now there were but two men, and they went forward. Presently a great noise was heard. It was the roar of lions. The sound echoed throughout the great forest, and it seemed that the lions must be directly in front of them in their path. One of the two men became afraid, and quickly he left the narrow path and took a wide path and went into another direction. Now there was but one man left. And with a sinking heart and quivering breath, he continued on the straight and narrow path. The lions continued to roar until the very earth upon which he was standing trembled beneath him. Then he too became terrified. Again, he looked long and hard at the directions the king had given him. And he doubted those directions. There had to be a mistake. No, he checked again. There was no mistake. This was the right path. This was the path that the king gave him. He had outlined it very clearly. He thought again, could the king be wrong? Would the king deceive me? 1,000 times no, he thought. I am faithful that the king is true to his word, thought this man. But the lions in his path kept on roaring. What did it all mean? These lions, this doubt. He had no answer. All he could do was trust and be faithful, to maintain his faith and confidence in the king's directions and in the king's promises, and to continue on the narrow path regardless of the lions. So he walked on, and soon the lions' roars were so loud and so close to him that he could not move another inch. His trembling was so great. And then, right before him, in his very path, he saw two great lions whose cries continued to shake the earth. But having come this far, the man could not turn back now. All he could think was, the king would not deceive me. So shaking and trembling, he moved forward right toward the lions. When behold, what did he see? Why, the lions were chained. One on each side of the path. Yet neither could reach him. They could not touch him. They were chained so tight. Oh, what joy was his. With a happy heart, he walked along the path between the hungry, roaring lions. And right there, right before him, was the king's palace. And behold, the king himself coming to greet him and to give him eternal health, joy, abundance, and prosperity, and the love that he had promised. Folks, Please ponder and remember this story. Of course, we've heard it before, the straight and narrow path. Remember this story of the king and the three men, but especially the one man who, in spite of the lions, reached his destination because he was living in truth with the eternal spirit, his loving father. Abundance is rightfully ours. And if you want to experience abundance now, here, today, tomorrow, next week, all of what we have to do is practice the presence of God. And how do we establish his faith and assurance? Well, we must begin our days daily with the inner reminder of who and what we are, our true identity. We must identify ourselves as spirit, as principle, as the law of life unto ourselves. We are to realize and dwell on the infinite, abundant spiritual consciousness, embodying ourselves. The consciousness of good, the consciousness of sharing, the consciousness of giving back, the consciousness of helping, the consciousness that came forward in our church and put out baskets to collect toiletries, simply to give back to other people that didn't have them. Those are demonstrations of service, of faith, of love. It's one thing to practice the presence, but I will tell you folks that faith without works is dead. It's that simple. You know, for some there's a belief in a separation between us and God, our good, and this we correct by realizing I and my Father are one. All that the Father hath is mine. The place whereon I stand is holy ground. In the recognition of the infinity of our being, we take our abundance by taking no thought. We are realizing truth now as an established truth within our own consciousness, the truth of our well-being. We are not taking thought to make any good come to us. We are not giving ourselves a treatment to make something happen to us. But we are realizing the truth and knowing the truth of our identity. You know, I've talked to people that literally believe that if they tithe in church and if they give to others, they'll be paid back. And they will tell you, I have to give 10% to this or that church. If I don't give, I won't get. So I give to get. And that's the secret of getting. No, it's not. We give because we're love. We give because we're whole. We give because we are supply. We give because we are grateful. We give because God gives. Okay. Whatever your work may be, in business, in a profession, or as an artist, God, the consciousness of the individual, always has kept 7,000, which means completeness, for himself. And as we learn to listen for that still small voice which spoke to Elijah, we too will be held to where our work and recognition and compensations are to be found. We exist as individual consciousness. Therefore, all that is necessary to fulfill ourselves and others about us is to practice the presence day in and day out. And always know that although abundance is of God, of us, we must travel within the climate. We must refuse to go the way of the wide path, but rather stay on the narrow path of truth. We must be like the one man in the story who through Christ overcame his fears and doubts and realized God's promises. Promises that are fixed, absolute, and unfailing. Let us go out from this day, my friends, from this very day, knowing that only God and God's presence are true, and that all seeming lions in our paths every day, because we will have them, are the product of our error thinking, of our fears. As we raise our consciousness to the light, the darkness fades away, as do those false lions that have kept you from realizing and claiming your truth and the full abundance of your being. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness. Please close your eyes. Assume a listening attitude. Be still. Sit comfortable in your seats. Yes, be still, knowing that I of myself can do nothing. Father, it is my privilege to realize that your spiritual power and strength are sufficient to face and conquer every problem in my human experiences out here in this world. Your abundant and forever giving spirit dwells within me and surrounds me. You have given me life, and you are the glory of my being. You live me and move me and comfort me so that I am never alone, never lacking, but am now, this very moment, forever complete in your eternal good. You are love, Father, and love is conscious unity with good. Good for me and everyone about me. I am your creation. And as I relax and turn to the power of the indwelling spirit, I realize all the more the growing consciousness of my Christhood. And I am aware of my wholeness and completeness in you. You have set before me an open door, and I walk through it freely, easily, and joyously into the radiance of my eternal Christhood. Father, for the awareness of your loving and giving presence that is here and now, in all of its glory and all of its power. O most loving God, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee his peace. Amen.